Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
Where are all the gutless American wrestlers? Step in the ring with the Baron and face the brave.
The reason why Ax and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us for another great episode. Today, my guest is the Perfect 10 baby doll, Nicola Roberts. Now, I will let you know right up front, I had some audio recording issues with the at the beginning of our interview. So the first 10 minutes of the interview is not there. For some reason, I hit record. It said it was recording. It started to go, and it didn't. And then, thankfully, I noticed it wasn't recording. I don't know why it stopped. I don't know what happened. But I did restart the recording, so it only misses about 10 minutes. So you still get a good 30 or so minutes of this interview. It's still good stuff, a good conversation. Hopefully, you will enjoy that. Before we get there, let's talk about the podcast is available on all podcast platforms. So make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and share. Follow me on Twitter or X at The Dave Dynasty. Subscribe to me on YouTube at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty. And support and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/DaveDynasty. Remember, as I say every week, in 2024, the WFIA, the Wrestling Fans International Association, will be holding a three-day virtual convention. It is on September 13th, 14th, and 15th. For more information, please go join the WFIA at thewfia.org, and you can also join the WFIA Facebook group. Also, go check out the Ultimate Classic Classic Wrestling channel, featuring the Sivaldi Library. Go to classicwrestling.net or download the app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, iOS Mobile, Android Mobile, and many more. There's tons of great classic wrestling footage on there. More is being added all the time. It is well more than worth the subscription price. So go to classicwrestling.net and sign up now. Now, if you remember last week, I debuted the new segment, Dave Rants. Told you there would be some other segments come through. This week, we're going to debut another segment. Pretty simple. So let's dive into that.
Book Club.
All right, and this week I am debuting the segment that I'm going to call Book Club. This is basically just, I'm not summarizing or giving you a review, you know, a full summarization or review of a book. I'm just plugging a book that I think you as a wrestling history fan should own. You may already own it, but if not, here you go. And I'm going to start with the Dave Dynasty obvious one. I recommend that you go get the book Bruiser, The World's Most Dangerous Wrestler, written by Richard Vajcic. The book was published in 2016 by Crowbar Press. You can get a Kindle version on Amazon, or you can get the print version at crowbarpress.com. Of course, Richard's been on the show several times, a good friend of mine, very well researched, very knowledgeable into the world of Midwest wrestling, and then particularly, of course, of Dick the Bruiser. He has another project in the works that is exciting. I can't wait for him to talk about that and announce that in the future. But go check out this book, man. It is great. If you're a fan of Midwest wrestling, a fan of Dick the Bruiser, or just a fan of wrestling history in general, this is a book you must have in your library and read. I've read it several times. Absolutely love it. I'm probably due for another reread, so it's probably coming in the near future. So again, Bruiser, The World's Most Dangerous Wrestler by Richard Vajcic. Go to crowbarpress.com. And while you're there, check it out. Crowbar Press has a ton of great books that you'll want to check out and have in your library. So there you go. That is the first installment of Book Club. Go get that book. Check it out. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have that interview with Nicola Roberts. So stick around. This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend Ike, and we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number two, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider.
No matter where Tully went, he was always such a good heel because he's just that little snotty brat that is going to instigate something, but then he's got to have Big Brother back him up. So that's why the Four Horsemen worked out so well. So it was really good for me because, like, I could instigate something, he could take care of it, and then I could step back in and pull it away. You know, it was just, it was such good timing. We worked well together. It was just, it was magic. And Dusty did a lot of magic in Crockett territory that those couple of years.
Yeah. And then, late 85, right, when Tully kind of joined the Horsemen, they were beginning to do their thing. They turned you face. And yes. you often worked with Dusty, Magnum, the Rock and Rolls, and others. What did you think of turning face at that time?
It was kind of awkward because I really, really, really liked being a heel. And we just come off from the I Quit match. So for Tully and I, we had kind of done everything, you know, we had done everything in a year. And really and truly, it was a good time to, like, go in a different direction. I like how they brought JJ in because JJ was the Weasley, gave me the ticket to Acapulco, got me out of the way, got heat between me and Tully so that he could step in and go, look, I can take care of this job a whole lot better than she can. And she's just dead weight. And, you know, it was a lot to build a story on. And then at the time, they were talking about putting me with Buddy Landell. And then because Landell was having a really good run with Flair. And then they would have me with Landell and then Landell would face Flair. That was the idea, was to have Landell do the run with Flair with me in the corner, that whole nother chapter of that story. But unfortunately, Buddy had loved cocaine. I mean, absolutely loved it, would die for it. Went on a little bit of a binge. No one could get a hold of him. The TV that they were going to turn me, put me with Landell, he no-showed. Dusty's calling him. Everybody's calling Buddy. Hey, you got to get to TV. You got to get to TV. TV's over and done with, like, at 3 o'clock. He finally shows up. Dusty takes the belt away from him and tells him he's fired. So that night, in, I believe it was in Greensboro, I switched with Dusty. And like with Nikita going, turning babyface whenever Magnum got hurt, no one saw me going babyface with Dusty. Absolutely. And it worked. It was so perfect. It was time to go, and then gave Dusty a lot to work with and a lot to talk about. And gosh, there's been so many good promos out of it that it's crazy. It's so fun.
Yeah. And when you turned face, like you mentioned earlier, you had a little run with Jim Cornette. And you guys were kind of perfect adversaries, right? I mean, he had the mouth, right? Put you down, said lots of disparaging things. And what was that like working with Jimmy?
The promos were super rough. Oh my gosh. Cause he's like, you know, no girl in her early 20s wants to hear that she's shopping in the junior moose department.
Yeah.
You know, that big and fat. And yes, I'm a big girl. I'm not going to disparage that at all or say that. No, I'm not. I mean, almost 6 foot tall and I'm a big girl, and, you know, just, it was rough, but we made more money than Cornette's ever made in his whole career. It was a really good run in July. We had some good crowds, had some really good matches, got to work with, like, Road Warriors and Rock and Roll Express and Dusty and Magnum. So that's, I mean, getting to work with the best of the best out in the stadiums in July, in the Mid-Atlantic was, it was ideal. It was dreamlike. And there's no way to describe it. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And then making good money. I mean, sure, we made enough money that we pissed off Ole Anderson. Ole couldn't believe that managers were making more than he was. And he was very vocal about it. But I mean, we were part of the draw, and I'm glad that, you know, they treated us well.
Yeah. And then around 86, right, you married Sam Houston. And like you mentioned, right, you guys have two daughters, and one of those daughters is now in the business, right? Wrestling as Samantha Starr. So how do you feel knowing your second generation? How do you feel knowing that, hey, there's a third, there's another generation in the business?
I really like it because she loves it as much as we do. I don't think that there's two people in this world that love the business more than Sam and I did. Mm-hmm. And we still do. And to have her come along, and it was kind of crazy because she was working my merch table. I was doing a lot of shows in the Mid-Atlantic, like late 2008 to, I guess, like 2014. She might have been, you know, traveling with me a lot. That was kind of our weekend thing. And so she got to travel around a lot. She got to learn the business kind of from an outside view of, like, seeing how promotions are run and the guys, and getting to see guys over and over again. So one day she was like, "Mom, I want to get in the ring. Can I get in the ring?" Because we got in there early and ring set up, and okay. You know, so the next morning she was so sore that she couldn't even lift her head up off the pillow. She was just in so much pain. But she was like, "Mom, do you have a show this weekend? Can I get in the ring again?" I knew she was hooked. Yeah. Because if you can get over that pain, if you can get over that initial training and teaching yourself how to fall and fall really hard, that's half the battle there. And then she got in the ring with it. Whenever she could, she was getting in the ring and taking bumps. So she learned from a lot of people. We didn't actually have the money to put her in a school because the schools were like thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm like a divorced mom supporting two kids and working at Walmart overnights and doing wrestling shows. Just didn't have the money, which I regret that to this day. I wish I'd been able to put her in school. But then, you know, she's got the road as her teacher. So, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of another. It all works out. Yeah. But I'm happy. I'm so happy with her. She's getting a little bit of a push from NWA, and Billy Corgan seems to really like her. And they've got some of the best women talent in the NWA roster. They've really, really, really gone above and beyond, you know, with their talent. And it's always exciting to hear the stories of where they're going and what they've done and what she's doing and going to do. And I'm making some new gear for her. That's probably some of the best stuff I've ever made. I'm like real apprehensive to send it, 'cause I've just got a few more things to do, but it turned out really well. So it's so cool. I love it. I love it that, like, both of my ex-husband and my husband wrestled. My daughter wrestles, my mom and dad, you know, Jake, I'm going to see him this weekend. And hopefully Cheryl's going to be with him. It's a big family, and I'm so, so blessed. I am.
Yeah. Well, and I talked to Sam a while back, and he said the same things that you, right? He was so, super proud, he sounded very excited about what Samantha was doing. Yeah. And, but we talked about when you guys were with Crockett, and he said that he took a lot of responsibility and said that the way he conducted himself put a lot of heat on you and him at that time. And that he was, you know, you guys were kind of sent to Central States, or you were sent to Central States because of that. Is this all true?
Well,
I mean, he said that, right? Things. He was a little jealous.
His fault. It was both of our faults. I mean, see, here's the deal. Everybody was married. Everybody had girlfriends except for Sam and I, you know, because I'd been like single, working. Shoot, the first year that I worked with Crockett, I had 15 days off the whole year. Well, I'm not going to meet anyone that way. I'm not going to, you know, build a relationship with anyone. And it wasn't until the Great American Bash in 85 when Dusty beat Tully in the cage and got me for 30 days. Well, with that, Dusty had the two-seater Mercedes and Magnum had the two-seater Porsche. Well, there was no room for Baby Doll to make road trips. So Dusty, so that I was safe and protected on the road and didn't have to travel by myself, put me in the car with Sam Houston. You know, I'd met Sam several weeks before that. Jake had said, hey, look up my brother. He's a good guy. Maybe you guys could hang out. But we're so busy, there's no hanging out with anybody. We're like traveling and sleeping. Well, then Sam and I, in that 30 days, we just hit it off. You know, he's like a year younger than I am, a little more than a year younger than I am. We both smoke pot. We're both getting pushed. We're both wrestling. We're both second generation. We just clicked. And we had a really, really good relationship. Well, we couldn't understand why we couldn't have a relationship, but everybody else could.
Yep.
It didn't seem fair, even though we faved everybody for like 5 months, 6 months. They never even knew that we were seeing each other. And I think whenever they found out, they were more pissed off that we tricked them. And they had no idea their relationship was going on until, you know, everybody found out, I believe, Halloween. Mm-hmm. We had a big party. And it was Dusty and his wife and Magnum and his wife and you know, all the wives got together and had a Halloween party and faved everybody so that we could all get together for one party. And that's when everybody kind of found out that we were together. So it was responsibility on our both of our parts. And we tried to, you know, keep everything separate. And yes, we had road life and we had home life and the whole thing. But I guess Dusty had his idea that he was going to keep me like a Marilyn Monroe character. Mm-hmm. Keep me single and available, and everybody wanted me, but he was the one that had me. And yet here, Sam Houston, like, who was Sam Houston coming up and sweeping the princess away? You know, who did he think he was? And yeah, it was awkward there for a while. And yes, we got sent to Central States. I wouldn't say as punishment, but yeah, it might have been a little bit as a punishment. Well, like, oh, well, if you're going to be happy, be out there and starve at the same time. We're not going to have you. You're too happy for us.
Yeah, Central States is not exactly the promised land.
Right. And even, I mean, I even spent a lot of money to have our wedding out in Texas, you know, so that nobody in North Carolina knew. We, you know, like nobody was going to know, and had it way out, you know, 1,000 miles away, and flew everybody in, and we had a good time. But that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And now I look at this way, like all the couples, you know, that are married and have relationships and traveling and on the road and on the same company and different companies. You have me to thank because I broke the ground.
That's right.
I was there's the a first lot. Ones
yeah, there's a lot of that now.
You know, actually was strong enough to have a relationship and say, you know what, you know, I'm going to do this. And then finally we were just like, well, if you don't want us, then we're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was both of us. But I mean, what are you going to do when they don't want you to be together, but you want to be together?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a difficult situation.
And really and truly, I mean, I understand their point of view at the office because it's business and they want to make money and they want to keep the characters. And so many people actually believed it was more than a soap opera to them. Mm-hmm. It was real life.
Yeah, sure.
So they didn't want to break that mystique, you know, because if I'm with Dusty, then why is she with
Sam? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and later you went on, you worked at the UWF and some other areas, right? And then you came back to the Carolinas around 88 and you managed Larry Zbyszko for a bit. To me, Larry has always been underappreciated. I don't think enough people talk about Larry Zbyszko and how talented he is, and especially on the mic. What was it like? What'd you think about working with Larry?
Larry was really funny. I mean, he's just kind of one of those guys that you really need to take a road trip with him to kind of get the full humor of Larry. He was just starting to date Kathy's Danya at the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that was the turmoil of them dating and being Greg Gagne's or Vern Gagne's daughter and, you know, Larry's a good guy. And we the deal is he's a really good worker. We just didn't click.
Sure.
I mean, he didn't need a valet and it was hard working with him because he was so he didn't need me. So, and it just, it didn't work, but it did for the time. And we got the angle with the envelope, which is still being talked about today. Yeah. So it all worked, you know, it's good. I'm happy.
Yeah. People still talk about the envelope. No payout on that. What was on the envelope? No one knows.
Nope.
No, were there discussions?
No one knows. I had.
Did you know at that time what was going to be revealed?
No, it was kind of, we started it and we were going to see where it went. I'm sure Dusty had an idea of where he was going to go with it and how we were going to get there. We just didn't know at the time. And then I got shipped off. You know, it was the conflict of interest. Sam was working for, it was WWF at the time. And I was working for Crockett, and they thought it was like a conflict of interest, and they didn't want me going up and seeing Sam, and they didn't want Sam coming and seeing me. So,
around this time, did you get? I heard that you got a tryout with WWF.
Let me see. This would have been 87.
Okay.
Thing 87. I was training up with Nelson Royal, Rockin' Robin was up there, and Ken Shamrock was working out with us. And I had trained with Nelson for maybe 4 months. I stayed up there at his ranch and sweated in the barn with the wrestling ring, and trained with his daughter, Shannon, and Robin, and Ken Shamrock. And there were other guys that came through there. I didn't know I had a tryout. It was Hey, Lalani's here. Why don't you get in the ring and take some bumps with her? And I'd known Lalani for like forever. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, sure. So I got on my gear and went in there. And believe me, if I'd known it was a tryout, I would have done a whole lot different than just going in there and messing around with, because what do? You know, you just go in there and you're like doing bumps and trying stuff and everything. And it's not like an actual, okay, WWF is looking at you. This is your tryout. Go show them what you've been. Yeah. I was just stupid. And then Robin was with us on the trip. And then here she comes, and she's got like all of her like gear on. Mm-hmm. And I hear on like t-shirt and shorts or something. And my boots, I wasn't even dressed probably. But she had like gear on. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's how it's done. And she went, and she had a really good workout with Lalani, and it was totally different, and she got the job, which to me, it's perfect. I have no, you know, like animosity towards her. She had amazing matches with Sherry Martel. She got to be the women's world's champion for WWF, and she did great. Sure. I mean, I love it for her. I mean, she got to travel and sing the national anthem for WrestleMania and everything. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, not long after that, I mean, you kind of hung up full time anyway, right? When your second daughter was born, you kind of stepped back, right? To be more of a mother.
Right. Right. Well, then I did Mid-Atlantic with Nelson Royal for a little while. And then I did UWF. I bounced around a little bit. I did gear for a lot of the guys. I was working for Piedmont Airlines when I got pregnant with our first daughter. But yeah, it was really after whenever I got pregnant with my first daughter that it was like, okay, I'm either going to be a mom or I'm going to be baby doll. I can't be both. Yeah. And I'm going to be really good at one or the other. So, and I wanted to be a mom. I love being a mom. I was going to be, my goal was to be like the Sunny Delight mom. And like all the kids come over and have snacks and and I think I did that. I really did. So, and now I get to have a second go around at it, and it's fun. So,
yeah, like you said, I mean, here in recent years, you've been out there quite a bit, right? Attending conventions. You've worked a few shows. I think you've even managed Samantha in a few shows, right? Second into her.
Yes. Oh, and I've got two shows with Samantha this summer, one in Utah, and then we're going back to Lubbock in July. So, home. Yes. And it's amazing that, you know, this is kind of made like a full circle. I'm sad because she moved down to Florida. She was moving. She did live like 7 miles away from me, right up in Lenoir, and got to see her all the time. But she moved like a year ago. And I've gone down to go see her. She's out in the Fort Lauderdale area and like 11 miles from the beach. Sends me pictures all the time of like horseshoe crabs and sharks and turtles. And she went swimming with the sharks for her birthday last year. Not so yet. just super. And my oldest daughter, Micah, she lives in Fayetteville. She's a musician and hanging out with her boyfriend, Kyle, and she's got her garden going and shows me pictures of tomato plants and everything that she's planting in their turtle, Sheldon, and just really, really happy times, really good times.
Yeah, and you've shown up on, you know, several episodes of The Dark Side of the Ring, doing things like that. Yeah.
Side of the Ring is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Even though I've been in the business and I know pretty much like all the guys they've done stories about, I learned something every episode. It's just, it's amazing series that the guys have done an amazing job on it. You know, from Dark Side of the Ring to Tales of the Territory, just a different perspective of wrestling and a different way of just seeing a whole new stories of it. It's good.
Yeah. And it's crazy because they go out there and find people that no one else has talked to pertaining to these situations. Right. I mean, I know that like recently they had the Chris Colt one and they literally went out and found the producer guy, right? That new Colt late. I mean, they find guys that no one could track down before. It's pretty remarkable. Right. And so do you like, I mean, you said, it's come full circle. Are you enjoying the fact that you're getting back out there a little bit and doing these conventions and doing the dark side and getting to see the fans a lot more?
I absolutely love it. I love hearing everyone's stories. I love hearing, you know, how wrestling affected them. I love hearing the stories of like sitting on the couch with the grandparents on a Saturday afternoon and, you know, like the grandpa getting so mad that he goes over there and he shuts off the TV and swears, I'm never going to watch wrestling again. I swear to God, I hate them so much. But then next Saturday, they're right there planted on the TV watching the shows.
Yep.
Like this weekend, I'm in New Jersey. Then the following weekend, I'm down in Rockingham, North Carolina, where the big racetrack is. We're doing a benefit show. Teddy Long's going to be on the show with me on that one. In June, I'm going to Utah for a Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame induction. My daughter Samantha and I are going to go out there for that one. Then in June, July, I'm going to Lubbock. Then August is the Gathering in Charlotte, which is a huge event. T-Mart Productions does an excellent job with that.
Yep.
Already got the hotel room reserved. I mean, really looking forward to that show. Meet a lot of people, make some good money, and it's just a really fun weekend there in Charlotte, the first weekend of August. Got West Virginia in either September or October. I've got a show in West Virginia, and then WrestleCade November.
Yeah.
So still, I mean, last year I had a lot more dates, but this year I'm still busy, but I'm concentrating more on gardening and being here more at the house, I think. But I love it. I mean, I love the events. I love the, like doing podcasts like this. Mm-hmm. I also like the Fan Fest and the Legends conventions. You get to see everybody. You get to see all the fans. You get to sell some merch. It's just really, I'm the biggest wrestling fan out there and I have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I'm always happy to see it, right? Cause you broke a lot of ground and a lot of people don't mention Baby Doll in the same breath that maybe they should. Cause you did. I mean, you broke a lot of ground and, you know, you hear so many, we talked about Dark Side, you hear so many tragic tales in wrestling, right? And guys and gals that, you know, didn't have dark outcomes. And here you are, right? I mean, you're, you know, happy, healthy, getting to still go out there and see, I mean, you know, your daughter's in wrestling. It's nice to hear a good story come out of wrestling. And
I if there's one thing I learned from my dad, it was like when you go through life, try to do things that don't involve a lawyer and the police, and you'll be fine. And so far, I found out that you know, not involving lawyers and police turns out to be a lot less expensive, a light, time consuming, a lot less worries. You know, it's good. That's, you know, I mean, I'm not without sin, and I haven't. It's not done anything wrong, but I've tried to live. You know, like, I knew my parents were always watching. He's like, being out on the road, and then when someone called my dad, hey, listen, your daughter's not acting right. You might want to have a talk with her. You know, I lived with that, you know, kind of looming over my head, you know, like my parents would always know what I did. And so I had that kind of conscience built in. Plus, I wanted to live up to the legacy that my parents had already gained and the respect that they had gained. Because anywhere I went, everyone talked so nice about my parents, and my dad had good payoffs, and my dad never ripped anybody off, and how good the shows were in Lubbock and things like that. I couldn't, you know, put their name through the mud and be bad. You know, I wanted to be the best there was and have everybody like me. I wanted to, hey, Baby Doll's here. Yay.
Yeah. No, I mean, do you and Samantha ever talk about that? I mean, does she ever hear that? Does she ever have the difficulties of, hey, it's not Samantha Starr, it's the daughter of Baby Doll? Does she ever experience that? Or is she like, hey, I'm proud of it, I'm going to go out and have a good time? And
the best compliment I ever got, and this is going to be, oh God, cry everything.
I didn't intend to.
She said that my mom is my best friend. I mean, that was, to be a mom and hear your daughter say that, really meant a lot, because we're really close.
Yeah. And if you opened it, if you opened any doors for her, right? That's what a parent wants, right? Your hard work and your sacrifices help your kids.
But she did everything herself. See, I've never gotten her book.
Sure. No, no, no.
I can't critique her matches because I never wrestled, but I can make her gear. So I'm doing that. But it's like, wrestling is something that, yes, she's got probably a lineage as almost as well as the Samoans, mm-hmm. because, you know, like Jake the Snake is her uncle, and Rock and Robin, and mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 grandparents. She's the only female third generation wrestler out there ever in the history of wrestling. There's only, like, I think they said something like 45 second and third generation wrestlers out there, and she's the only female on third generations on both sides of her family.
Yeah.
But when you get in the ring, that really doesn't mean anything. She's the one that has to take the bump. She's the one that has to tell the story. She's the one that has to present herself and get herself booked and make her money and make travel arrangements. That's something that I can't, she can learn from me, but I can't do it herself. And that's part of the cool thing about wrestling, is that, you know, you're kind of on this on your own. It depends on yourself and the independence. And whenever I look back at, like, with my mom back in the 50s, you know, women just didn't have the opportunities. Women were just starting to get into the workforce. Women were just starting to get their own money and their own way of supporting themselves without depending on the man the whole time. And for my mom to have, like, a Cadillac and travel, you know, she went to Australia, she went to Mexico, she drove across the United States several times, wrestled up in Canada, and to have that freedom and that gumption just to go, and that to be brave and do something that nobody else has ever done. My mom came from a small farm in Minnesota, you know, with the youngest of 5 girls, and then to break in and do this and, you know, do wrestling shows and be the feature attraction. And then with myself, you know, to come from Lubbock, Texas, and, you know, like, no girl did what I did, you know? And then with my daughter, I mean, she, you know, there for 2 years, she was going full-time at college. She not only managed a Sonic, she owned a Sonic, she owned a restaurant, and she was making wrestling shows every weekend. So we all have our page and history of whatever we did to get in that ring and perform. And I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, your mom, what she accomplished paved the way for you to take that and your generation, not just you, but, you and Robin and your whole generation, to take that, go one step further, pave the road a little further for that Samantha and her generation now can do what they're doing. And they might, you know, pave the road a little further down for the next generation. That's the way the business works.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's
especially for women.
Compliments all the time on Samantha, where talent that she's worked with the girls that she's worked with on shows, about how nice she is and how she helped them when nobody else would help them. And gave advice and helped. And that I don't know what I would have done if your daughter wasn't there. And just to get that, it's really cool.
Yep. Well, like you said, Samantha's active in the NWA. People can check her out. on the CW app, right? Their shows are on there. They can check her out there.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're out doing things and making videos. How can people follow you and keep track of what appearances you're making? Do you have a way out there on social media for people to follow you?
If they Google my name, Nikla, N-I-C-K-L-A, my Facebook comes up, my Twitter comes up. I have Instagram. I'm not really that active on there. What I do is Instagram is I get caught up watching videos and then I don't get to post anything because I'm watching cute puppy videos.
Yeah, I watch dog and cat videos on Instagram. That's what I do all the time.
and for me, it's fishing. I love watching the, you know, like what's going to, are they going to fall out of the boat? Are they going to pull something up? Is the shark going to get the tuna? You know?
Yeah. Well, it's out there, right? If they look up your name, right, you come up.
Yes.
Obviously, the promotions and the conventions and things are plugging you, so people.
Oh, I'm trying to. And then if you go to my Facebook, I'm plugging my shows and my daughter's shows and all the local events around here and stuff too. And it's quite an adventure.
Absolutely. Well, if you're out there and you're going to attend any of these conventions or in the area, go check out Baby Doll and say hi and thank her for her career. And Nikla, I appreciate you coming on talking to me. And
you're welcome.
And I know, I mean, we got sidetracked talking about Samantha a lot, but I'm sure that doesn't bother you as a mom.
To talk. Oh, I don't mind at all.
Talk about her, but she's very talented. And I think she's got a bright.
Love her to pieces. And in fact, tomorrow we're both going to be in the Charlotte airport about 4 hours apart. So we're going to cross paths. But
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, she's on her way to Arkansas and I'm on my way to Newark.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, thank you for coming on and talking to me. And it's been an honor. I was a fan of yours back in the Crockett days. And I'm a fan of Samantha's now. So I appreciate getting to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been fun. And thank you for considering me after all the guests that you've had that you'll put me on your podcast. Thank you. Absolutely.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling Fans International Association is back. That's right, the premier fan club association of the 1970s and 1980s has been revived and is back in business. Join today. It's free at thewfia.org. That's thewfia.org. You can also join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/WFIA1969.
All right, and welcome back. I am Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Nikla Roberts, Baby Doll, for joining me for that conversation. We have another great episode next week. My guest will be Jack Victory. What a great talk. A good dude. It was a good interview. Very fun. That is coming next episode. Once again, subscribe to us on social media. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Go and subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Please go and join the WFIA. It is free. You receive a free bi-monthly newsletter. It's well worth it. Visit the WFIA.org and sign up. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your interactions, all your likes and shares of my posts on social media. I post a lot of newspaper clippings, photos, historical dates, and everything else, particularly from the WWA, from Midwest Wrestling. Thank you for all the interaction and support there. Again, another great episode coming next week with Jack Victory. But until then, always remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Mediker thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.